Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Temura Daf Yud Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin our shiur today 9 lines from the top of Daf Yud Ches. You'll see a colon, 2 dots, printer's mark in the Gemara, at which point we begin with Rabbi Kiva Omer, Eino Tzorech, Harehu Omer, Osham Hu, Hu Korev, V'ein Tmuraso Kreva. This is a quote from Daf Yud Zayin Omid Beis. You'll notice a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating Yud Zayin Omid Beis. If you scroll back to Yud Zayin Omid Beis, you will notice that this is coming from a quote from the lower part of the page, where we have featured a Tanaic source in which psukim were cited to serve as source information for the laws taught in our Mishnah. At this point, we are going to focus on Rabbi Akiva's comment. Rabbi Akiva had said over there that you don't need a scriptural reference for what was said. In other words, the scriptural reference that was said is not necessary. Rather, we have another scriptural reference. And that's what Osham Hu is teaching me. Hu Korev V'ein Tmuraso Kreva means from Osham Hu we learn that the Osham itself is offered, but its Tmura is not offered as a sacrifice. In turning to our Gemara, we ask, Loma Li Kra, what do I need a pasuk to communicate the idea that the Tmuras Osham is not offered? The Hilchos Gemiri law. It is the subject of an oral tradition. Therefore, the pasuk Osham Hu must be for something else. The Gemara answers, in Hochinami, in truth, you are right, that I don't need the pasuk to tell me that the Tmuras Osham, the replica of an Osham, is not offered, when in fact that is governed by an oral tradition that tells me thusly. Ela kra lomali, so what is the pasuk for? Answer, mi boyale lichd Rav Huna, I need it for Rav Huna's teaching. The Yom Rav Huna, osham shenitak l'raya, an osham sacrifice that for whatever reason was not needed to be used as an osham. For example, a person had set aside a korban osham, it got lost, he used a replacement animal for his atonement and then found the original Korban Osham. It is then ruled upon to be set out to graze. Nitak means it is removed from, through a formal ruling, from the realm of Osham, because it's not needed as such, and rather ruled to set out to graze until it develops a blemish, at which point in time it could then be redeemed, its sanctity transferred onto money, and the money used to buy sacrifices. Now, if you have a situation like that, Osham Shenitak L'raya, V'shachtoi Stam, and it was then slaughtered after it was sentenced or ruled upon to graze, he didn't wait till it developed a mum. He slaughtered it without any specific intention. Kosher L'shem Ola. It will be acceptable to be processed as an Ola sacrifice. Assuming, of course, that he slaughtered this in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the point here is, nitak in, lo nitak lo. Nitak, once again, means it was dislodged or removed from, through a formal ruling. It was removed from the realm of Osham and ruled to graze. Lo nitak lo. However, if it wasn't removed from the realm of Osham through a formal ruling, simply the owner had achieved his atonement through another korban asham, and he found the first one and immediately took it to the Beis HaMikdash and slaughtered it, it would not be acceptable as an ola. My taima, why is it that this formal ruling is necessary, and otherwise without it, it wouldn't be acceptable as an ola? Because the pasuk says, who? When the pasuk we referred to before, Osham Hu, the word Hu means Behav Yoso Yehe. It remains as it is. It shall remain as an Osham. As long as you don't have a formal ruling dislodging it or removing it from the realm of Osham, it remains an Osham. Therefore, it won't be acceptable. After all, this person already achieved his Osham atonement through another animal. The Gemara now goes back to what we had discussed extensively on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. You see here a Roman numeral number 2. This is a reference to the two Tanaic sources that we had on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We have a little arrow, by the way, to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, which indicates Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We also have provided here a slash mark indicating that this piece of Gemara is not a direct continuation of the discussion we just had within Rabbi Akiva and the use of the Pasuk Oshem Hu. We're now going back to compare or the different sources that we had on Amud, on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we're going to look into what does each one do with the Psukim cited by the other source. So the Gemara asks, Ulahai Tana deka Yolif Mehani Kroi, according to source number 2 that learned the laws of Lodos and Tmuros, the offspring and replicas of sacrifices from those psukim, specifically the psukim in Dvarim Perek Yud Beis, Tepukli Mizoharu Nekeva, why not learn out those laws of Lodos and Tmuros Kachim from Zohar Unekeva, which were featured in source number 1 on Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the psukim from Vayikra Perek Gimel? The Gemara answers, you know why source 2 doesn't use Zohar and Nekeva? Hahu miboya le levlad bale mumin ulatmuras bale mumin. Source number 2 needs Zohar and Nekeva to tell me the laws regarding the offspring of blemished animals and the tmura of bale mumin, the replicas made from bal mum, that they are treated as sacrifices and brought as sacrifices. The Gemara asks, "V'tepuk li kulhu mehai kra?" If source number 2 is learning the issue of vlad balmum and tmuras balmum from Zohar and Akeva, why not learn everything from that pasuk? When we say everything, why not learn the vlad and the tmura of tamimim, of the unblemished animals, from that pasuk? The Gemara answers, im lo mashmale. The word im, now that was featured in diamonds in source number 1. Source number 2, in looking at the psukim and the diamonds that we have in source number 1, he says, I don't see anything special to be derived from the word im. Now, the word im had been used by source number 1 to reveal the laws of Vlad Bali Mumin and Tmuras Bali Mumin. However, according to source 2, I don't see that from the word im. You know what? I see those points from the word Zohar and Nekeva. So source number 2 will tell you that as far as the Vlad and the Tmura of an unblemished animal, that I need my Posuk Dvarim Yud Beis for. Once having learned the laws of the Vlad and the Tmur of an unblemished animal from Dvarim Yud Beis, then I, says source number 2, learn the laws of the Vlad of Baal Mum and the Tmura of Baal Mum from Zohar and the Keva found in Vayikra Gimel. Now we switch to the source number one from Yud Zayin Beis. Ulahai Tano Denafkole Meim Zohar Im Nekeva. Source one who did see value or revelation from the words Im in that pasuk. Tisa Uvasa Mai Ovid Lahu. What does source number one intend to learn from Tisa Uvasa that was cited as the source for the Mishnah in source number two? Answer: Afilu mi mirayhu. That you are, when you dedicate yourself to, when you accept upon yourself to bring a sacrifice, you are expected to hasten and bring it, even from their grazing. And we'll explain this a little more. First, let's glance at Rashi. Tisa ubasa, afilu mi mirayhu. Hi tisa ubasa. According to source number one, these words, lav livlada sutmuros asa, this pasuk is not coming to teach me about the offspring and replicas. Elo lekotchim atzmon, the source number one looks at the pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis that was cited by source number two and says it's telling me about the basic sacrifice. The komizalu lisuye hei. It's warning a person to bring it hei, means quickly. Afilu hein b'mir'eh b'efer. Even if the animals that you intend to bring as a sacrifice are currently grazing out in the fields, the giyazman horegelalos, and the holiday time has come to travel to Yerushalayim. This is a time that people are obligated to go to Yerushalayim anyway. Lo yomar, a person shouldn't figure any toreach acharein levakshon va'agam ulo lichon. I'm not going to trouble myself now to go seek them out from their site, from their grazing sites way out there in the fields. Avolam tin li ad pam acheres. I'll wait for another time. So the posuk is saying tisovosa means quickly bring them. Don't tarry. The Gemara goes on, Lishno Achrino mi morgayhu. Another version is telling me to go bring the animals from their threshing. Rashi explains, Lishno Achrino afilu mi morgayhu, afilu hein doshin esatvo. The word morgayhu indicates threshing. And he goes on to explain the basis of that word as is seen in other places. But the very basic point is that according to source number one, the pasuk cited in source number two is coming to teach me not about vlados and tmuros of sacrifices, but rather is hastening the person to bring his basic sacrifice, even if it is involves a little trouble in finding the animal or taking it from its current role as a thresher and take it now and dedicate it as a sacrifice and bring it to Yerushalayim. The Mishnah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Vlad Shlomim, Lo Yikrav Shlomim. According to the Tana Rabbi Eliezer, the offspring of a Shlomim is not to be offered as a Shlomim. This, by the way, ought to be contrasted with what we have learned earlier that in our previous shiur, that the Vlad of a Shlomim, we saw according to other Tanaic authorities, in fact is brought as a sacrifice. But Rabbi Eliezer here disagrees. V'chachomim omrim yikrav, the Chomim say it is offered as a sacrifice. Omar Rabbi Shimon, loy nechluku al Vlad Vlad Shlomim, the al Vlad Vlad Tmura Shelo Yikrav. This statement itself will be the subject of analysis by the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon is saying that there is no argument concerning the third generation of Shlomim or the third generation of a Tmura. Al Ma Nechliku al Havlad. The controversy surrounds the second generation, or it's the offspring of the Shlomim. Shereb Eliezer Omer Lo Yikrav, Chalom Omerim Yikrav. Rabbi Eliezer says it's not to be offered, and the Chacham say it is. Heyid Rabbi Yeshua Rabbi Papias, Al Vlad Shlomim, Shi Yikrav Shlomim. They testified that the offspring of a Shlomim is offered as a Shlomim. Omer of Papias, Ani Meid, Shehoisalonu Poro Shel Zivchei Shlomim. He testifies that we once had a cow that was a Shlomim sacrifice, V'chalnua BePesach, and we ate this Shlomim on the holiday of Pesach, V'achalnu Vlodo Shlomim, and we ate its offspring as a Korban Shlomim, B'chag. Now the word B'chag, we are not going to translate it right now, but it's certainly not Pesach, it's a subsequent holiday. The superficial point right now is that these are reflecting the opinion that the Vlad Shlomim is consumed as a is dealt with as a Korban Shlomim. Omer Reb Ami, Omer Reb Yochanan, my taimo de Rebbe Eliezer. What is the reason for the Tana Rebbe Eliezer who says that the Vlad Shlomim is not offered? Before going on in the Gemara, we now have a new geometric form, and this draws our attention to the outside margin, where you see the Nosei Mivneh heading. You see a crown form. We have written Shlovim. These are stages. We have a crown here, and a few lines later around the word Elo. These are stages, Behesber Taima de Rebbe Eliezer, stages in attempting to explain the reason behind Rebbe Eliezer, Devlad Shlomim, Lo Korav Shlomim, that the offspring of a Shlomim is not offered as a Korban Shlomim. So now the Gemara. Omar Kro, V'im Zevach Shlomim Korbano. Very unusual drosha we see here. He takes the word V'im and changes the vowelization for the drosha purposes. V'im. V'im means the mother. V'im Zevach Shlomim, and the word V'im is thereby a limitation, meaning the mother, V'lo Vlad, not offspring. Omele Rebchia Bar Abo, the Rabbi Ami, Elo Me'ato, Rebchia says to Rav Ami, who quoted this drasha, and says, according to this approach, the pasuk says, im al toda yakrivenu. You see the word im by toda as well. By a korban toda is another type of sacrifice. Hachinami, are you going to say, the aim v'lo vlad, that in the case of a toda sacrifice, the mother and not the offspring? In other words, that the word imal toda is excluding the offspring of a korban toda from being offered. V'chitema hachinami. And if you say, yeah, that's right, v'atanya, but the Tanaic source says otherwise. It says as follows, regarding a korban toda, v'loda utmurasa v'chilufeha minayin, the vlad of a toda, the tmur of a toda. Chilufeho is a situation where you had set aside a korban toda, and it got lost, and then you set aside, brought a replacement animal, and you found the first one, and they're both standing in front of you. You can choose which one you want to bring as a toda. How do you know that? Talmud Lomar, im al toda, mikol makom. Under all circumstances, any variation, if you will, on toda, you bring as a toda. So, how do you know that the vlad of a shlomim is not brought as a shlomim? Elo amar Rabbi Bar Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. This is a second approach, a second stage. Hainu taima de Rabbi Elazar, gezeira shemo yigdal mehem adorim adorim. Gezeira indicates a rabbinic prohibition, as opposed to darshaning it from the pasuk as a Torah prohibition. There's a rabbinic prohibition that says we don't want you to bring the vlad of a shlomim as a sacrifice, because if a person knows that the offspring of a shlomim could be brought as a shlomim, he might just delay ever bringing the mother shlomim and leave it around to raise herds of animals. Rashi across from here says, Gzeira, I amriz vlad shlomim yeshlo takona. If a person knows that the vlad shlomim has a use, osi lishuye la'im, he'll leave the mother around, ad she tele vigdal adorim in avlodos, he'll then raise flocks of offspring, the osi degiza vavoda, and he'll come around to, being that he's leaving them around so long, he'll come around to shearing them and working with them. Rashi adds, Ubatoda, with regard to the Korban Toda, where we saw that the offspring of the Korban Toda is brought, Hainu Taima de Lo Gozar, this is the reason that he didn't make this restriction. Bishum de Toda Lo Shchicha Kishlomim. Toda is not as common a sacrifice as a Shlomim. And we know that things that are things that are not common, the Rabbanan don't impose their ruling. Now, we should have added, very importantly, when we saw in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar says, Lo yikrav shlomim, the vlad is not offered as a shlomim, so what do you do with it? Rather, you bring it into a small chamber, and it's left there to die. That's called koinsa l'kipa. You bring it into the kippah, which is a restricted, small, squalid chamber, and it dies there. And hence, now the owner realizes that he's got, that if he has a vlad shlomim, there's really nothing he's going to benefit from it. So he's not going to leave the mother around for any length of time, and thereby avoiding any problems of shearing and working with the mother. Omar Rabbi Shimon, Loi Nechleku V'chulei. We read the Mishnah, but didn't explain this line. Rabbi Shimon said, Lo Nechleku Avlad Vlad Shlomim. There was no argument, Rabbi Shimon says, between the Rabbi Elazar and the Chumen regarding the third generation of Shlomim. Ibayaloho, the Gemara asks, Heichi Toni, how are we to understand what Rabbi Shimon was saying? Is it understood, Lo Nechleku Shalo Yikrivu Elo Yikrivu? Is it such that there's no disagreement about it as far as it not being offered, meaning that it is offered? Oidilma lo nechleku sheyikrivu elo lo yikrivu. Or is it so that there was no argument between them about its being offered, but rather they were in agreement that it shall not be offered? So very simply, is there agreement concerning the third generation of Shlomim that it shall be offered, or is there agreement that it shall not be offered? Omar Rabba. Now, you see this new geometric form, this bow tie shape. This is explained on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. You will see two bow ties, Shnei Deois Lahasbir, two opinions to explain, Ha Dekotoni Rabbi Shimon, that which Rabbi Shimon said, Delo Nechleku, Rabbi Elazar Rabbonim Bivlad Vlad, that there's no disagreement about the third generation, the offspring of the offspring. In our markings, we've also highlighted the expression Vlad Vlad with a double underline and with dots in it. So the Gemara continues. Omar Rabba, Mistabra, it's most likely Lo Nechleku Shelo Yikrivu Elo Yikrivu. They're in agreement, Rabbi Shimon says regarding Rabbi Elazar and Nachman, they're in agreement that the third generation shall be offered. My time, why is that? Ad kan lo polig Rabbi Elazar alei de Rabbanon ela bevlad. Up till now, his argument, Rabbi Elazar's argument with the Rabbanon, is how to treat the second generation. Avo vlad vlad akroi be'almohu. The Rashi explains at the very bottom, akroi be'almohu v'lo shchiach lishoso kokach. It's an unusual case that a person would leave around not only the second generation, but allow, but keep that around till a third generation is born. Since it's an unusual case, so he doesn't impose his ruling that it shall be set aside to die. Therefore, it can be brought as a sacrifice. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi Omar lo nechleku sheyikrivu elo lo yikrivu. They're in no disagreement regarding its being offered, because they agree that it shall not be offered. My time, why is that? Ad kan lo pligi rabbonon olei de Rabbi Elazar ol bevlad. Up till now, the rabbonon disagree with Rabbi Elazar. That's with regard to the second generation. They say, listen, second generation is brought as a sacrifice. Aval vlad vlad. But leaving these animals around till a third generation is born, mitoich maisov nikeres machshavoso, from his actions, namely leaving around the animals so long that a third generation is born, we see his intent. From his actions, his intent is revealed. The legadeo koboi lo. His intention really is to raise herds of animals from these. And in such a case, if you're leaving sacrificial animals around so long, there is a distinct chance that he will come to misuse them, to graze with them, or to plow with them, or to shear them. Now at the top of Omid Beis, Toni Rabbi Chiya Lusiyah the Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Chiya brings a Tanaic source that or a Tanaic source authored by Rabbi Chiya can serve as a support to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that the third generation is not offered. The source begins, Im Kesev. This is a quote from the Pasuk in Vayikra Perek Gimel Pasuk Zayin, and we've included this Pasuk on the inside margin. Let's read it before we proceed further. Pasuk says, Im Kesev Hu Makriv Es Korbono, if he brings his korban from a sheep, Vekriv Oisoi Lifnei Hashem, he shall offer it to the Almighty. So the Pasuk had read, Im Kesev, that's Vlad Rishon Korev. That is telling me that the first generation of offspring is offered as a sacrifice. Vlad Sheni Eino Korev. The emphasis being second generation, yes, or offspring of second generation, which we call third generation, no. And we've dashed underlined this and indicated from here is the support to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi's point. The Pasuk says, Hu Makriv. Hu Korev V'ein Vlad Kola Kochim Korev. This offspring is offered, but the offspring of other sacrifices are not offered. Vlad Demai. Well, which offspring is being excluded by this drosha? E de Oilo V'Osham, if you're telling me the offspring of an Olo and Osham are excluded by the verse, Zecharim Heim V'lo B'nei Vladim. Those are male animals. They don't have offspring in the first place. So I don't need a pasuk to exclude something that doesn't exist. E de Chatos, if it's a reference to the offspring of a Chatos and the pasuk is telling me you don't offer it, I don't need a pasuk for that. Hilchisa Gemiri La de La Misa Azla. Through oral tradition, I know that it is set aside to die and obviously not to be offered. Omar Ravina, the Asuye Vlad Hamruseres. The pasuk is including the offspring of a Miser Behema. And it's telling me that the offspring of a Miser Behema is not to be offered as a sacrifice. Miser Behema is the tithe a person removes from every year's animal births. One-tenth of his animal births he sets aside, and it's designated as a Miser Behema, which is brought as a sacrifice. The owner brings it to the Beis HaMikdash. And here we're saying that the offspring of the Miser Behema is not brought as a sacrifice. The Gemara asks, Vlad Hamu'useres Loma Likra, what do I need a special pasuk for, the pasuk we darshan, Hu Makriv, to exclude the Vlad of a Meiser Behema? Ovra Ovra Mi Bechor Ka Gomar La. There is a separate Gzeres HaKosov, a Gzeres Shava, using the word Ovra, from the topic of a Bechor. Which basically says, just like the Vlad of a Bechor is not offered, so too the Vlad of a Meiser Behema is not offered. Now, we must take note of the fact that a Bechor is a firstborn male animal. So when we say the Vlad of a Bechor is not offered, that's fairly obvious, and we learn from that to the Vlad of a Meiser Behema, which might very well be a female animal. So once I have this Gzera Shav of Avra Avra, I know Meiser Behema Vlad is not offered. So what do I need Hu Makriv for? Answer, Itzdrich, I need Hu Makriv. Sakodai Techamino Ein Donin Efshar Mishei Efshar. If I were just left with the Gzera Shava by itself, I might have said, well, it's not a reasonable source for Meiser Behema Vlad. Why not? Because we don't learn that which is possible from that which is impossible. In other words, the Vlad of a Bechor doesn't exist. How can that serve as a precedent to deal with the Vlad of a Meiser Behema, which is something that may very well exist, being that the 10th animal that's chosen, that's numbered, might be a female. Komash Malon, that's why I need the Pasuk to exclude the Vlad of a Meiser Behema, and I'm not going to rely on the Ovra Ovra Gezerah Shava on its own. Hayed Rabbi Shimon Rabbi Papias. They testified that they had a pora of shlomim nature that they ate on they had a shlomim korban, a cow that they ate on
Pesach, and they ate the Vlad as a Shlomim b'chag. The Gemara. Ulorava di Omar. According to Rava that says, Kochim she'ovar aleim regel echod. Sacrifices that a holiday passed by, one holiday passed by, kol yom v'yom over aleim b'bal ta'acher. Every day beyond that holiday, one is in violation of Baal Tachir, of having delayed bringing his sacrifice. Let's take all of this into consideration and just go back to the quote from the Mishnah. Reb Shimon and Reb Papias said that they ate the mother Shlomim on Pesach, and the offspring, they ate it's the this Shlomim's offspring b'chag. Now, standard procedure, this we have held off till now, standard procedure is to translate chag as the holiday of Sukkot. From Pesach to Sukkot, you have to go through the holiday of Shavuos. Pesach is in the month of Nisan. 50 days later, in the month of Sivan, you have the holiday of Shavuos. And then, several months later, in the month of Tishrei, you have Chag. Chag is Sukkot. What was their story? They had an animal that they dedicated as a shlamim, that animal conceived and gave birth to a vlad. They sacrificed the mother on Pesach and ate it as a shlamim. And the vlad, they say they ate Sukkot time. But according to Rava, how could they wait so long? Granted, on Pesach itself, they couldn't slaughter the offspring because it's too young. There's a halacha that the offspring has to be at least 8 days old before it can be brought as a sacrifice. So if they ate the mother as a sacrifice, as a shlomim sacrifice on Pesach, Pesach itself is just a 7-day holiday, so there was no opportunity to bring the vlad as a sacrifice on Pesach. Assuming, of course, that we're talking about a case of the animal having this Shlomim mother having birthed the animal on Pesach. Granted, so Pesach wasn't even an option. But 50 days later was Shavuos. Shouldn't they have eaten it then? According to Rava, if you allow even one holiday to go by and not bring that which you're obligated to bring as a sacrifice, you're in violation of Baal Tachir, the prohibition of delaying. And that's what the Gemara means when it says, Me Atzeres Boi Michle. Atzeres is another word referring to Shavuos. From the holiday of Shavuos, they should have eaten it, should have sacrificed the offspring and eaten it. What were they doing leaving it till Chag? Omar Rav Zvid Mishmei Derava, answer number one, Kegoin Shoyachoy LeBatzeres. Well, the animal was sickly during Atzeres, so they're excused from sacrificing it then. Rav Ashi Omar Mai Chag Nami Dikotoni, the word Chag that is featured in the Mishnah, it's not Sukkot. Chag Shavuos. It's a reference to the holiday of Shavuos. So they did what they were supposed to do. The Idoch, the number one approach, Rav Zvid's approach, why didn't he use this answer? He explains, Kol Hechi Dikotoni Pesach, wherever you see in Tanaic literature the word Pesach, if you want to make reference to the holiday of Shavuos, Toni Atzeres, it would have used the word Atzeres and not the word Chag. The Gemara asks, "I hochi, if it's so." Now Rashi explains under the Dibur Masel I hochi, "Di I hochi dahai Chag Shavuos hu." If Chag really means Shavuos, and according to that, then they were bringing it when they were supposed to bring it. Inami dahavichola, or if according to the pshat number one, that it was sick, and therefore they didn't bring it. So the Gemara is asking, according to these pshatim, my asaduse. What is Rav Papias coming to teach us? Rashi elaborates, and he says that if you were to tell me that Chag meant Sukkis, and you also were to tell me that on Shavuos it wasn't sick, so then I would see the value in Rav Papias's teaching to come to exclude the opinion of Rava, that you're not over, you're not in violation by the fact that a holiday goes by. But according to the Pshatim that we're saying right now, that Rav Papias says that they, that either they brought it, Chag really means Sukkos, but it was sick on Shavuos and they couldn't bring it, or you tell me the Pshat that Chag really means Shavuos and they brought it at the right time. So the Gemara is asking, according to either one of these approaches, Mayas Haduse, what's the value? What's the point? It seems to be information that's very obvious. The Gemara answers, there is value in this story, because they are coming lafuke midarebi Eliezer. They're coming to exclude the Tanaic opinion of Rebbe Eliezer. Diomar vlad shlomim lo yikrav shlomim. He was claiming that the offspring of a shlomim is not to be brought as a shlomim sacrifice. Komasid hu dekorev. Rav Papias is testifying that it was offered. In other words, we de-emphasize the timing, the holiday, when they brought it. That's not their point. The point of Rav Shimon and Rav Papias is to tell us that a Vlad Shlomim is brought as a Shlomim, and not like Rabbi Eliezer, who said that it's not to be brought as a Shlomim. The Mishnah. Vlad Toida Utmurasa, the offspring of a Toda Korban, and the replica of it, Vladon uvlad Vladon atsoif kol hadoros hare elu ketoida. The offspring until all time, all future generations that come forth from this are viewed as a toda uvavach ein teunin lechem. However, unlike the original toda, which is required to be brought along with 40 baked loaves. These do not have the lechem, the bread requirement. Mino hani mili. What is the source of this teaching? On the outside margin, we have, under our Nosei heading, featured the following. Hatoida atzma boi lechem. The original korban toda requires bread to accompany it. Avo vloda tmurasa v'chalifasa. Avalo vloda tmurasa v'chalifasa. But that requirement is not true with regard to the offspring or the replica or the replacement animal. The Gemara now. Minohani mili, what is the source for this? The Tanu Rabbana, we have a Tanaic source that goes till the Mishnah. You can see all of this is in a frame. Mahu Omer Toda Yakrivenu. What is taught by that? Minayin Lemafrish Toda Viovda Vihifrish Acheres Tachteha. From where do we know that in a case that a person had dedicated a Toda sacrifice and it got lost and he set aside a replacement one? V'nimtzeis harishona v'reishtein omdos. He then found the original one that was lost and has not as yet offered the replacement one, and therefore both are standing in front of you. Minayin she'eza she'yutze yakriv v'lachmu ima. From where do we know either one, whichever one he wants, he picks. He brings that as his Toda, together with the 40 loaves. Talmud Lomar, Toda Yakriv. Toda Yakriv tells me you can choose either one. Yachol Tehei Shniotun Olechem. Does this mean that the second animal, the one that I didn't choose, also when I bring it will be brought with breads? Talmud Lomar, Yakrivenu. Achas Velo Shtayim. That means that one is brought with breads, not both. Minayin l'rabois v'lodois t'muros v'chaliyotfos. From where do I know to include the offspring of a toda, the replica and the replacement animal, to be brought as a basic toda itself? Talmud lomar im al toda. From this expression, the added word im al toda, I understand to add these as well. They are brought as a toda. Yocholu kulon tunos lechem. Could it be that the vlados, tmuros, and chalifos would require breads? Talmud lomar al zevach hatoda. Hatoda tunu lechem. From this phrase, we learn the original toda, the basic toda, requires lechem. Velo vlado tmuros v'chalifos tunu lechem. But not these other cases. They do not require. So the Pasuk is basically saying that as far as what is brought as a Torah, there can be several possibilities, but as far as which one gets the bread, in other words, which one requires the bread, so that we say only the basic, his basic Korban Torah, not the, we'll say, the derivative forms. The Mishnah. Tmuras Ola, Vlad Tmurasa, Vlad, Vlad, Vloda, Atsof Kola Olam, Hare Elu Kola. Uteunin Hefshid Venituach the Kola Lishim. The Tmuras Ola is an animal that you had a basic Korban Ola and replicated it onto a female, onto another animal. We'll have to speak about a female Tmura, because otherwise we won't be able to speak about the offspring that this Mishnah features. So he had done Tmura onto a Nekeva, and now that Tmura bore offspring. And the offspring was a Zohar. Otherwise you wouldn't be able to bring the offspring as an Ola. The Ola must be a male animal. So that when speaking about offsprings being brought as an Ola, the offspring in question is a male. And when we say it's treated as an Ola, that means it needs to be skinned, that's Hefshet, Vinituach, and then before offering it on the altar, the entire animal is dismembered, is sectioned, is cut into sections, and Kol Elishim means it's completely burnt, the meat is completely burnt, and the skin is given to the Kohanim. Hamafrish Nekeva Li'Ola, a person who set aside a female animal and dedicated it as an Ola, which is not correct, you shouldn't do that, the Yolda Zohar, and it bore an offspring, Yir'er, Ad Shistoivir, V'imocher, V'yovi, B'dom of Ola. The opinion of the Chachamim, and this we've discussed in previous Shiurim, that the Chachamim's opinion is that the offspring of this Nekeva that was set aside as an Ola is sent out to graze until it develops a blemish. It's then redeemed, and the money that you get from the redemption is used to purchase an Ola. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Hu Atzmo Yikrav Ola. Rabbi Elazar says, and this opinion we've seen before, he in the course of the Gemara, that the offspring itself is brought as an Ola. The Gemara. My shno resha de lo pligi, umay shno seifa de pligi. We learned the resha of this Mishnah. It spoke about the Tmura and the Vlad of the Tmura, and there was no controversy. It sounded like that, according to everybody, the Vlad of the Tmura's Ola would be offered as an Ola. So in the Reisha, there's no controversy. You don't see here the Chachamim saying it should be set out to graze. Umayishna Seifa, the Pligi. In the Seifa of the Mishnah, we actually wrote in the word Seifa at the point that the Mishnah spoke about Mafrish Nekeva Liola, where someone set aside his initial dedication was of a female. And in that at that point, the Mishnah mentioned that the offspring of the Nekevish that was set aside as an Ola, here the Rabbonin say that the offspring itself cannot be offered, but rather its money value will be offered. Why then, to make things simple, in the Reisha does there seem to be unanimity, and in the Seifa there is controversy? Before going further, we should have better late than never, as they say. If you take a look in the outside margin, there is a no say heading, and we indicate that these discussions will continue till Yud Tes Amud Beis. It's quite a long sukya concerning Vlad Tmuras Ola, the offspring of an Ola replicate, Vlad Shel Nekeva Shehufa Shel the Ola, and the offspring of a female that was set aside as an initial Ola. Ha'ima Vlad Atzmo Nikrav Kola. Is the offspring itself offered as an Ola? That's the topic that we've already gotten into a bit. The diamonds that we see here are explained under the Mivneh heading. They are deos lahasbir lomo rak b'seifa de masnisin mofia machlokis chacham rebelozer velo bereisha. Why only in the seifa, which featured the mafrish nekeva liola, why there is there a controversy, and in the reisha there didn't seem to be a controversy? So we'll have two opinions how to deal with this. Let's continue now in the Gemara. Omar Rabba Barachano. If you're asking why in the reisha does there seem to be unanimity, you're wrong. There isn't. B'machloikis shnuya v'Rabbi Eliezer hi. This mission itself is teaching in the reisha only the opinion of one Tana, namely the reisha that says that the vlad of the tmuras ola is offered. That's in accordance with the Tana Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim, in fact, would disagree, just like we saw. They disagree in the Seifa. The Rav Amar Afilu Tema Rabbanan. Rava says the Reisha, in fact, there is unanimity. The Rabbanan agree. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan ole de Rebbe Elazar elo gabi mafrish nekeva liola. The Rabbanan controversy or argument with Rebbe Elazar is only in the case of someone setting aside a female as an ola. The imei lo kreva. The mother, which is a female, is not offered as an ola. The mother isn't offered. So being that the mother is not offered, so the Rabbonin are of the opinion that the offspring, too, is not to be offered as an ola. Avo gabi vlad tmura d'ime nami kreva. Now here's a very, very tricky point. In the case of the vlad tmura, what's the case, just to go over it again? A person had an original male ola sacrifice. He replicated it onto a female. The female, in this case, is not the original sanctity. The original sanctity was a legitimate ola. So in the case of the Vlad Tmura, which was the Reisha of the Mishnah, and the Rabbonin seemed to agree that the Vlad is worthy of being brought as an ola, the reason is because Ime does not mean the mother, it means the original Kedusha. The original Kedusha was the original Ola, male animal set aside as an Ola. So I said that the word Ime is very tricky. It means the Hektish Rishon. In the case of the Vlad Tmura, where the original Kedusha, which is referred to by the term Ime, was something that was fit to be brought as a sacrifice, the Rabbanan will agree that the Vlad Tmura is also worthy to be brought as an Ola. The Gemara asks, Umi Omar Rebbe Elazar Yikrav Ola Hu Atzmo? Would Rebbe Elazar say that the would he in fact say that the offspring is brought as an Ola? V'ra minhu, we raise a Tanaic source that features a contradiction. The source begins, Tmuras Osham, an Osham sacrifice that was replicated, Vlad Tmura, Vlad Don, Vlad Vladon Atsof Kol HaOlam, the offspring and the offspring of offspring till the end of time, Yiru At Shistovu V'Yimocher V'Yiplu Domov L'Nedova. They are set out to, the offspring are set out to graze. The Tmura is, and the offspring of the Tmura set out to graze till they develop a blemish, and they're redeemed, and the money is used for buying public sacrifices. Rabbi Elazar Omer Yomusu, he says that they are set out, set aside to die. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yovi B'demeim Oila, and he says that you shall bring their value as an ola. Bidomim in, the money value, yes. Hu atzmo lo, but the vlad itself, no. So how can you see Rabbi Lezer represented before as saying that the vlad itself is brought as an ola when you see here, he's saying that it's the money value that is brought. Omar Rav Chista. Here you see a house marking, a house shape, and this is explained on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading. The house represents Gishos, approaches Liyashev Stira B'Rebbe Elazar, to resolve this seeming contradiction in Rebbe Elazar. Vezberim shoinim shel shitas, and different explanations of his opinion. Mosai oimer shavlat atzmo nikravu mosai nimkar ludomav. When is it said that the offspring is offered itself as an ola, and when the value of it is used to purchase an ola? The Gemara. Omer Rav Chisda, Rebbe Lozer ledivreim derabbanan komar luhu. Rebbe Lozer is addressing the Rabbanan on their terms. Lididi svirli dafilu vlad nami korva ola. As far as my personal shita is, as we saw in the Mishnah, the offspring itself is brought as a korban ola. Lididchu, according to you, diamrisu roya, you who say it's set out to graze till it gets a moom and you bring the money value, odo li mihas de moisoros lenidvas yochid asli. At least agree with me that the money that you use from the sale of these, from the redemption of these vlodos, should be used for bringing personal, for the owner to bring his own korban. Nidvas yochid is a personal nidava. The amri lay, and the rabbanan respond, moisros, the monies used from the sale of the redemption of these vlados is used linidvas sibor asli, for public voluntary offerings, for public non-obligatory offerings. So that according to Rav Chisda, Rav Lozer, when he said in this Tanaic source yavi b'dmeim ola, it was really addressing the owner we should say the Rav Lozer was addressing the Chachamim who had said that the vlados are used for their value to buy nidavas, and nidavas meant public voluntary offerings. Rav Lozer was saying no, it should be used, the money value that you are saying is sought out, namely I say the vlad itself is offered as a sacrifice, but on your terms that it's sold, should be sold and used for the owner himself bringing personal voluntary offerings. Continuing, Rava Omar, Ad Kan Lo Koomar Rebbe Lozer, Hu Atzmo Yikrav Ola. Rebbe Lozer in the Mishnah that spoke about it itself being brought as an Ola, the Vlad itself being brought as an Ola sacrifice, that's Elo B'mafrish Nikeva L'Ola. That is true in the case of someone who set aside a female animal as an Ola. Di'ikor Shem Ola Al Imoy. The concept of Ola, even though this is a female animal, the concept of Ola is not strange to females. As we know in the case of bird offerings, the bird can be brought as an Ola offering even if it happens to be a female. Avo Gabi Tmuras Osham, which was the topic of the source that was brought in as a seeming contradiction, there the source dealt with an Osham. We're at the top of that Yutes. The leko shem oilo al imoi, there's no ola that's relevant over here. We're talking about you had an original korban osham, and then you replicated that onto a female animal, even though the osham itself was a male. You replicated onto a female animal, and it had an offspring. There's no ola in this story. All you have is osham. And there's no bird that's brought as an osham. So in such a case, modi Rebbe Lozer de bedomav in hu atzmo lo korev. There, since there's no ola association with this, with regard to this particular offspring, so therefore it can't be brought as an ola, and therefore it's the vlad of the tmuras osham is set out to graze till it develops a mum, and then the money that you get for it will be used for buying sacrifices. As the Gemara proceeds, the Gemara will bring in Abaye, who will be eventually another approach to resolve this particular stira. But initially, Abaye will be asking, does Rebbe Lozer really need this concept of Shem Ola Al Imo in the first place, in order to justify it itself as being brought as a sacrifice? And Mirtz Hashem, we will pick up with this discussion in our next shiur, so that with this, we conclude our shiur for today.